I'm Lynn Scherr in for John Hockenberry. Last night, the president made his pitch for health care reform before a joint session of Congress.
Everyone in this room knows what will happen if we do nothing. Our deficit will grow, more families will go bankrupt, more businesses will close. More Americans will lose their coverage when they are sick and need it the most, and more will die as a result. We know these things to be true.
We're going to talk to some of our listeners in just a moment who are watching this speech, just like you.
My name's Jared. I'm calling from Springfield, Massachusetts. I thought the president did great last night, and he gave enough details to get an idea of what the plan proposed is, but not too many details to pin him down and allow Congress to hammer out the end of the bill.
Give us your review of the speech. Tell us what you thought at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. But first, we want to get some of the highlights from our Takeaway Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Todd joins us from member station WDET. And Todd, what were the main points that Mr. Obama made last night?
Well, the first thing, good morning, Lynn. He used the classic Obama soaring rhetoric. Now, he said now is the season for action, used a mixture of inspiration and, frankly, some shame on members of Congress, you know, sort of suggesting, let's show people that we're worth our jobs by coming here and really getting this done. He did back some new policies, some of the stuff that's floating around on Capitol Hill, but that we haven't heard the president endorse before. He endorsed the idea of outlawing, denying coverage because of pre-existing conditions, outlawing, dropping people if they get sick. He did endorse a plan to keep the plan deficit neutral in the long term, and he did re-endorse the public option, even though he said he is willing to listen to other ideas. The other real big thing from the speech, Lynn, was the president did say he is still open to Republicans. His door is open, but he warned them that he's not going to waste his time with people who want to kill the bill. And around Capitol Hill, that's code for something very specific. In the Senate, you need 60 votes to pass something. The president has the option of using a process called reconciliation. We don't have to get into the procedure, but if they use it, it would be very unusual, and the president would only need 50 votes or 51 votes to pass his plan. They call it the nuclear option because it would destroy a lot of relationships around the Senate and in Washington. It's a very big deal. But he sort of put them on notice. I'm not going to waste time with you. And what he's saying is, I will push this red button if I have to. Don't test me.
Ready to go ahead without the Republicans if he has to. Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, our thanks to you. As of 7:59 p.m. last night, before the speech, three of our listeners were unconvinced by the president. We wanted to check in with them today to see if they heard what they needed to from the president. Faith Dow is a freelance writer in San Francisco, and she voted for President Obama. Brad Bynum is a landscape architect in Oklahoma City. He is a registered Republican. They both joined us yesterday morning, so welcome back to both of you to the show. And we are also joined by Troy Erickson, a clerk for the U.S. Postal Service in Grand Forks, North Dakota. He's an independent voter who couldn't be with us yesterday because his wife was just having a baby. So congratulations to the newest Erickson. And let me start with Brad. Brad, we asked you yesterday what you wanted to hear from the president, and here's what you said.
Well, I think the basic thing is something clear cut, and you hear all these different options of co-op or this or that, and, you know, I would at least like to know which direction he wants to go with it.
Okay, Brad, here is what the president said last night.
The plan I'm announcing tonight would meet three basic goals. It will provide more security and stability to those who have health insurance. It will provide insurance for those who don't. And it will slow the growth of health care costs for our families, our businesses, and our government.
Okay, Brad, you wanted clear cut. Good enough for you?
Well, I kind of wondered if he listened to the show yesterday. I mean, it pretty much addressed everything that I was talking about. He got specific enough to for me to understand what he wants. And plus, what I really enjoyed was the fact that he did reach across the table a lot. He continued to do that. And like I said, I was kind of tired of the bickering and stuff. And then he also took responsibility, personal responsibility for this bill of, in other words, my plan, this is what I want to do. In other words, he's standing for something. He's coming out and finally saying, this is what I want to do. I need y'all's help. And taking the proverbial bull by the horns, or I guess in this case it'd be the elephant by the tusk, and putting it in black and white. And yeah, takeaway, if you put it on a ballot right now, yeah, I would vote for that. He fulfilled everything that I believe that I needed from yesterday's conversation.
Okay, Brad, one satisfied customer. Thanks very much to you, and I'll go along with you. I suspect the president was listening to the takeaway and figured out what to say from there, so thanks. Faith Dow, freelance writer in San Francisco, here's what you were hoping for yesterday.
Insurance companies are notorious for finding reasons to deny coverage of people even after you've paid premiums. So I would like to see something that holds them accountable and that offers coverage to people without limitations.
Okay. Was President Obama listening to you?
Under this plan, it will be against the law for insurance companies to deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition. As soon as I sign this bill, it will be against the law for insurance companies to drop your coverage when you get sick or water it down when you need it the most. They will no longer be able to place some arbitrary cap on the amount of coverage you can receive in a given year or in a lifetime.
Well, both sides of the aisle seem to like that one in Congress. Faith, what about you?
I am cautiously optimistic that we will get the coverage that we need.
Okay, Faith, thanks very much. I'm glad you heard what you were looking for, at least cautiously. Troy Erickson, clerk for the Postal Service in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Troy, quickly, what were you looking for yesterday, and did you get it?
Well, greetings from the Great Plains. My deal breakers going into the speech were no federal dollars to fund abortions, a meaningful recommitment kind of pledge to pass a bipartisan bill, and most importantly, perhaps, new information to make me believe that whole not a dime added to the deficit claim. And I'm willing to believe his no federal funds for abortion pledge, but the bipartisan pledge has to be placed in the I will believe it when I see it column, simply because it would be so easy for him to renege on that in the name of ensuring our lower-income citizens. And finally, that not a dime to the deficit claim is just untrue. I believe the Congressional Budget Office analysis indicates that something like $245 billion needed to adjust Medicare reimbursement rates appears nowhere on the Democratic overhaul balance sheet.
So not entirely satisfied. Troy Erickson, first of all, congratulations on your new baby.
Well, actually, the baby is not out yet. What my wife experienced early yesterday morning was just a long, uncomfortable false labor, unfortunately. But
we wish you the best of luck for the real one.
Thank you.
Okay, Troy Erickson, thanks so much for joining us. Takeaway, we're 2 out of 3 for the president, so not too bad.